Let us then turn in God's words to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. We'll begin reading at verse 13, and I want to read the whole of chapter 53 as the context for our scripture reading. We'll be specifically looking through verse 3 of chapter 53 as our text this morning. So Isaiah 52, beginning reading at verse 13 and reading through the end of chapter 53. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we as human beings so often are swayed by the outward appearance. The outward appearance of people, the outward appearance of all sorts of things in this world. And God tells us concerning our Savior that his face was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. He grew up like a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. We as human beings so often look for that which pleases us, pleases our eyes, pleases and speaks to our external desires. Again and again throughout Jesus' ministry, people said to him, "We want you to do this. We want you to be an earthly king. We want you to X, Y, or Z." And that was not what Jesus came into this world to do. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And brothers and sisters, that is what we need. That is what is important. Too often we think, well, this should come with earthly blessings, and I should have a good time on this earth. God doesn't promise that. God, in fact, promises us that this time on this earth is going to be a time of testing, of trial. But brothers and sisters, what we have in Jesus Christ is far better than anything that we could have. If we have the best life on this world, I'm told that if you have all that you would ever want, it doesn't help you any. I like lobster. I'm told that if you eat too much of it, it tastes like soap. The things of this world that we run after, whether they're all of our little devices that we run after nowadays and we're on a treadmill for the next one waiting. That's going to make my life better, right? Not if it's not used to the service of God, to His glory. Brothers and sisters, God sends us the Savior we need. The Savior who doesn't look great from an earthly perspective. And of course, that picture, that idea, carries with it far more spiritually than it just carries a prophecy of Jesus' outward looks. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we need this Savior. The one who carries our griefs. The one who was struck and smitten and spat upon because of my sins. This is the Savior we need. And so, as we look at these verses, these last verses of Isaiah 52 into the first verses of Isaiah 53, that's the theme that we want to see, is God sends the Savior we need, not the Savior we want or expect. God sends us the Savior we need, not the Savior we want or expect. In verses 13 through 15, the last verses of chapter 52, we look at the wonder of who Jesus is. And in verses 1 through 3, we see that our Savior was yet despised and rejected by men. The wonder of our Savior, the wonder of who Jesus is. We take a look at His wisdom and at His exaltation. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be extolled very high. Our Savior, as we look and as we watch how He worked on this earth, He was always ahead because He's God. He's always ahead of the rulers, of their ideas, of their questions. He was always able to answer. And if you look at Jesus' answers, they're not just, hey, I'm giving you a straight answer to this. His answers are enormous and beautiful of the things of God, which mankind just tries to shove into a little hole. No, God gives us far more than we ever need for the answers. And Jesus answered them with such wisdom and such beauty that they were not even able to answer Him a word. They quit after a while even asking Him questions because His answers were too good. Too perfect. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted. Of course, He was, while He was on this earth, demeaned. He was abused by man. Yet because of what He did, because of what He suffered, He has received that name which is above every name, Philippians 2:9. He has been exalted. He is at the right hand of God, there to ever live. We have our flesh in heaven as a promise that that's where we're going, to the new heavens and the new earth. And so we have His wisdom, we have His exaltation, but at that same time, they were astonished at Jesus, just as many were astonished at you. So His visage was marred more than any man. Not astonished from an earthly perspective to say, wow, look how beautiful. But to look at and to say, God created Jesus. His appearance was marred more than any man. Psalm 22 carries the same idea to us in verses 6 through 7. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. Jesus, in His time upon this earth, received ridicule. He received the judgment of man against Him. And yet, of course, man so easily looks on the outside and not what is important. God calls us to judge as God judges, looking and seeking to look on the heart and not on the exterior of the situation. His form was more marred than any man. But brothers and sisters, it's not the exterior. It's our Savior. I love the passages. Psalm 45, verse 2, you are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Jesus, who from the exterior, apparently from what God tells us, was marred and His form was more than the sons of men marred. Yet, brothers and sisters, is not He beautiful to us as our Savior? We don't look on the outside. We're called to look on the inside. Consider what our Savior has done for us. He gave His life. He loved us perfectly. Consider the beauty that He has toward us. Not because of His physical appearance, but because of what He has done for us. The wonder that Jesus has loved us, has paid for our sins, has bought us back from the judgment which we deserve. So He shall sprinkle many nations with His blood. Christ died not just for the Jews. The Jews always had that idea that this whole Bible, this Old Testament, was all about them. And it's obvious that that was not so. And brothers and sisters, we as well need to have that idea that this is not just about me and my ticket to heaven. This is about whom God would call to the ends of the earth. That God will save sinners. That His Word is a lion. Release it. Use it. Don't put it in a book on your shelf and let it get covered with dust. Reading that thing will change your life. For the better. Eternally. So He shall sprinkle many nations, Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. The Word of God is what cleanses people. So often when we try to get people into church, we say, well, you got to look the part. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what people come in as. I care what they go out having heard. They need the gospel. They need to hear Jesus Christ. And they need that power of God. And that comes through hearing. That's what Paul says. Faith comes through hearing. How shall they hear unless they preach? God has willed to use the foolishness of preaching to save sinners. And so, brothers and sisters, He will sprinkle many nations, cleansing people from the filthiness and from their idols. Kings shall shut their mouths at them, for what they had not been told, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Consider, before Jesus was even born, wise men from the east, the kings from the east, saw His star. Consider how many kings of this earth were given the opportunity to hear Jesus. Herod, Pontius Pilate, earthly rulers. And then again, how much that spread when the gospel went into Rome. by the end of the first generation after Christ. Already, the gospel was known within Caesar's household. That's a lot of movement. This is the wonder of the power of God. The mystery of the world is revealed in Jesus Christ. Salvation to sinners. And what they had not heard, they had to consider. Remember Paul speaking as he was accused, as he was in jail, having been jailed by his own people. He went and he had the opportunity to witness to Agrippa. The gospel will bring us to people and even to the kings of the earth, to the rulers of this earth. If we are faithful to God, God will use that lion, His Word, to change this world. And so, we need to see and we need to consider the wonder of who Jesus is. Not good looking from our earthly perspective, not what we would run to because, well, this is what I have this felt need for, right? We got to fulfill our felt needs, right? Isn't that what our culture tells us? Many people have a need they never feel. They don't realize. People need Jesus Christ. And that's not going to come up as my first felt need. But that is the most important need. Before my food, even if I didn't have to actually try to cut down on the food, we need the gospel more than our next drink of water, more than our next breath of air. And so the wonder of who Jesus is and we consider, and at that same time, this glorious, beautiful Savior was despised and rejected of men. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Jesus came into this world. The world was made through Him and the world did not know Him. He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives the fact, the adoption as children of God. Who has believed that report? Again, John 12, 37 and 38. Although He had done many signs before them, they did not believe Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We say, who's going to do it? How is it going to happen? That's the power of God. And the power of God is more powerful than anything you or I can even imagine. And so, brothers and sisters, that's not for us to make happen. We need to be faithful with the Word of God. We need to bring that message of a Savior. That the world says, I don't even think I want that. The message of a Savior who truly purchases sinners from hell. The truth of a Savior who gives what we need. Again, we're reminded in these verses, He has no form that we should desire Him. He grew up like a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. We got to watch a little bit of that this summer, didn't we? Did that corn look real good? Those beans look like the best stuff ever when they were dry. That's the picture God gives of our Savior. He has no form or comeliness. When they see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. If all we look on is the exteriors, if all we present is a Jesus with none of the facts that go in behind it as we read and we continue in Isaiah 53, nobody's going to want that. But when we consider the Savior God sent, that He came into this world to be despised, to be rejected. To save us from the judgment which I deserve, which we deserve. That He is that man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That He has in all points been tempted as we are. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are. And brothers and sisters, may it never be that we hide our faces from Him. There were those who did. And there continue to be those who do. Matthew 26:31, then Jesus said to them, "All of you were made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Think of the times in which the disciples denied, the disciples scattered because of our Savior. Because He said, remember John chapter 6, "These are hard sayings. We can't follow this guy." Think of what the disciples said. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Are we looking on the outside? Are we worried about the outside? Or do we see to the center the beauty of our Savior? The beauty of He who said, "It is finished." It wasn't beautiful from the outside. But brothers and sisters, oh, the beauty of those words. "Our forgiveness is bought and paid for. It is finished." And so, brothers and sisters, let us not be run aside, run around by the externals. Remember what Jesus said about that. With the soils, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, time. I don't have time for this. They so easily distract us. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand that most important need. And that God has fulfilled it in Jesus Christ. Oh, the beauty of that truth. Amen. Let us bow then before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Indeed, O Lord, we cry out to You, beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. We pray, O Lord, that we would not be run around by the desires of this world which so easily get in our way, but that we would look full at the beauty of our Savior, the beauty of He who shed His blood to wash us. The beauty of He who took striking and smiting. The beauty of He who took hell so that we would not have to. And we cry out all the more, beautiful Savior. We pray, Lord, that our whole lives would show our thanksgiving for the Savior whom You sent, the Savior that we need, not always necessarily the Savior we want. And we bow before You, God, in thanksgiving and in praise for the wonderful, the beautiful Savior whom You have given. We pray that our whole lives would show forth our thanksgiving to You and our praise to Jesus. For we pray these things, praying as Jesus himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.